Good morning and welcome to the Heart of Christ Church, where we know God is good and all the time. We also know and hold to the three commands that the Lord has given unto his church that sum up the entirety of the scriptures: to love God, love others, and go with the gospel of Jesus Christ. For as we do these things, we fulfill the law and the prophets, and we carry unto the gospel of Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen, church? And in that, we continue weekly, daily, I pray, moment by moment, as a church, understanding that God calls us to know him. But the question that I have to ask today in our sermon is, does the Lord know you? And that's a question that I want us to look at and kind of try to answer if I can, because what does it mean for the Lord to know us? Doesn't God know everything so he would know everyone? I mean, that makes a very logical statement, because he is God. He knows all things. So, Pastor, what do you mean? Does God know you? Of course he knows me. Well, I'm not talking in the sense of that reality of knowing. I'm talking about something entirely different. So if you would, open your Bibles to the book of Genesis, because I want us to understand what God is speaking here. And we're going to turn to Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. And we are going to begin on the very first verse, Genesis 22, and we are going to begin on the first verse. Now it came about after these things that God tested Abram, and he said to him, Abraham, and he said, Here I am. He said, Take now your son, your only son whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you. So Abram rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. And he split wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham raised his eyes and saw the place from a distance. Abraham said to his young men, Stay here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go over there, and we will worship and return to you. Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So the two of them walked on together. Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. So the two of them walked on together. Then they came to the place of which God had told him. And Abraham built the altar there and arranged the wood and bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And then he said, Here I am. And he said, Do not stretch your hand against the lad and do nothing to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. When Abraham raised his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him, a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the place of his son. Abraham called the name of that place, The Lord will provide, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it will be provided. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, indeed, I will greatly bless you and I will greatly multiply your seed as the stars of the heavens and as the sand which is on the seashores, and your seed shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. Blessed be the word of our Lord. As we open this word and begin to unpack it, Abraham had one son of promise. How do we know that? Because he already had another son, but he cast that son out with his mother, and he began the Ishmaelites, or as we know them today, the Islam. So when we think of why was this so important, Abraham understood, this is my son of promise. This is the only one from whom goodness is going to come. This is the one that God spoke of to me. I tried to do things in my own right with my wife rather than waiting on the Lord, and it created a problem. So this is the one, and now he's asking me to give him up. How many of us would have been eager to take that trip? I want you to think about that. How many of us are eager to take the trip to see the doctor because we have cancer? How many of us are eager to take the trip to the school because our child did something they shouldn't have done? How many of us are eager for the things in life that are difficult? We're not. It's not something we go running into unless it's an emergency, because then we have to run, but we don't want to be there. Can I get an amen? But here Abraham went, and this child of promise who meant everything to him. I mean, this was his whole future. Everything was resting on this one. And he gets there. Now, I always wondered why he didn't take the two servants along. That always confused me. Why didn't he take the two servants along? But then the Lord opened my eyes. Because there are times when God's going to try us, and he can't have people there that are going to try and stop you from doing what the Lord has predestined to happen. We need to understand there are going to be times in your life where God is going to separate you out, and you and he are going to walk alone, because he has something he wants to do with you, with me. They're some of the most difficult times we will ever come to. So when you see yourself being separated out, prepare your mind. God's maybe getting ready to show you something pretty tough, but if it's pretty tough, there's generally something pretty awesome coming on the end of it. But how many of us look to the end of it? Now, we look at what's happening when we're in it, don't we? We need to be people of another world, of another kingdom. We need to be heavenly minded, that we trust God in all things. And that amazed me, because then we get to Isaac in the text. And Isaac there, he says, Dad. Now, I think this is amazing, because what was Isaac carrying? The wood. What did Jesus carry? The wood. Yeah. And Isaac looks at his dad and says, Dad, the wood is here and the fire is here. Where's the lamb? Notice what Abraham said. But I also want you to notice what he didn't say. He didn't say to the boy, I'm going to offer you up, did he? No, he said to the boy something entirely different. He said, the Lord will provide. The Lord will provide. Abraham was trusting in the Lord. He said, I don't know how this is going to work, but this is my son of promise. I believe that. And you have counted it unto me as righteousness, because I believed you when I left the land. I believed you when we rescued Lot. I believed you when we couldn't have a child, and here we are in our old age, and it happened. I believed you, and I've seen your revelation. And this is one more test, one more trial, one more piece of my growth. And I'm going to trust you unto it. And he says, and the Lord will provide. How do you think Isaac felt? He was probably walking to that mountain. He had no idea he was going to get tied up just yet. But he's walking to that mountain waiting to see what God's going to provide. Wow, what's going to be up here when we get here? Because he's not experienced the Lord the way Abraham has. You know, our children watch us in our faith, but they haven't experienced our faith. They have to experience it themselves. And part of that experience is walking beside us. That's why I think it's so important when we're here and we're worshiping. I want the children in the sanctuary when we're praying, when we're singing, when we're worshiping. Now, when it gets to the preaching, yeah, pastor can be a little long-winded. And sometimes it's a little bit higher than what they can understand. So we send them down and we teach them children's church where they're doing the things that they can comprehend and coming to a faith in reality in their age group. But here, I want us to see that they see us worship. They see us loving God. They see us weeping when we need to weep and laughing when we need to laugh and troubled when we're troubled. You don't live your life in a vacuum and expect your kids to understand what's going on. Can I get an amen? And why do we do it with our faith so many times? How many times do we go into our prayer closet and we're praying for our kids and we're not taking them in the prayer closet with us? They need to see us weep over them. They need to see us work through this thing that is coming upon us. Because if they don't, they're not going to see how real faith works. So here this young man is. He's walking up there. He's waiting to see what's going on. And all of a sudden, Dad starts tying him up. Do you think he got it? I think he did. Because number one, he loved his dad. How many young men don't love their dads? We love our dads to our own detriment sometimes. Because not all dads are wonderful dads. Not all moms are wonderful moms. But we love them just the same, don't we? Because they are our mom, they are our dad. And we hope they'll change. But here's Isaac. And he says, man, I've seen Dad. I know the way God walks with him. I know the goodness that comes. I got to trust him. I got to trust him. And if this is what God wants, then I give it to God. Because, you know, Dad's not going to lead me astray. Woo, woo, woo. Man, I love that thought. How many of us know our heavenly dad will not lead us astray? How do you think our kids experience God? Through us. How are we acting? So here Isaac is, and he's trusting Dad. And they get up there, and I can only imagine how Abraham felt as he's waiting. You know, something's got to happen. Something's got to happen. But I got to follow through. So he picks up the knife. And he's getting ready to thrust it into his son to take his life, because that's a violent move. That's not something you're going to do slowly or sluggishly. That is a violent move. And he hears the word of the Lord. Boy, if there's one time I'm glad he wasn't hard of hearing, can I get an amen? And he hears his name called twice. And he says, here I am. How many of us, when God's calling, hear his voice and say, here I am, and just stop and wait for him to speak? But how many of us will hear something and we just keep right on going? Here Abraham teaches us a very honest and open principle. And he's taught us this from the beginning. When God spoke to him, when his son spoke to him, what did he do? He stopped and said, here I am. In other words, you've got my attention. How many of us wait upon the Lord in such a manner that at the slightest hearing of a thing, here I am, to make sure we're hearing what's right? Because you see, God is testing him to see if he is going to know God. You see, there's something going on here, because when he gets to this point, God says, stop. for now I know. Wait a minute, he knows all things. Not only does he know everything that's going to happen, but God knows every possibility that could happen and all those various outcomes. We are talking exponentially a number that cannot be fathomed. Because how many choices could each and every one of us make every day? There's 8 billion people on the planet. What are the possible number of choices that every human being could make every day in every situation that comes their way? God knows them all. He knows every outcome of every one of those. So does God know? Yes, he does. So what's he talking about here when he says, "Now I know that you fear God"? Because Abraham went the whole way. He was to that point of actually committing the thing. It isn't that God didn't know Abraham wouldn't do it. It was that Abraham had to get to that place. And now know. And in that, we find the defining point. What do I mean by that? Folks, there are going to be times in each and every one of our lives where we're going to walk into something that none of us wants to walk into. None of us wants to walk into. But when we get there and we call upon the Lord in the midst of it, now God knows. Why? Because we have been faithful and we now are showing our knowing of Him, our needing of Him, our desire of Him. I can remember when I was in my automobile accident, busted my hip, busted my leg. As I am crashing, and if any of you have ever been in an automobile accident, it takes tenths of a second for this stuff to happen. But in the midst of that accident, I just simply cried out, "Jesus, I can't stop." In that moment, what did I do? I called upon the one who could. And even though I went through that accident, got busted up, was Jesus there? Yes. Yes. I'm still alive. I should be dead so many times from that accident alone that it's beyond comprehension for me. But I know He is the God of life. Can I get an amen? And sometimes He has to take us to the point where we are at the bottom and there's nothing more for us to do but go up. Because He needs us to know Him. And now I know you fear the Lord because you've called out to me in that moment. You drew near to me knowing I am the one. I know now. Why? Because you have experienced it, not because He knew it was going to happen, but you have come to that knowledge that He is there. You put your dependence upon Him in that moment rather than upon yourself. And in that, did you see the promises that then came to Abraham afterwards? And instantly, I think it's kind of amazing because, you know, here he is, he's getting ready to thrust the knife. And do you think he wasn't looking for a ram somewhere? Do you think he wasn't looking for a sheep somewhere? Do you think that thing was in the bushes the whole time this was all happening? Absolutely not. That thing didn't show up until the Lord said, "Stop. For now I know." And then there was a ram in the bushes. Now, I don't know about you, but how many of you know how big a ram sheep can be? Yeah, I got a lady sitting back here shaking. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Those things can weigh up to 150 to 180 pounds, depending upon the ram, the type of sheep. And do you think that a couple of briars are going to get him stuck I think about this. Because Abraham had to go over and get this thing out. All right? It's like, just how stuck was he? Well, he was stuck by the Lord because the Lord put him there to be the offering. And in that, may we understand that wherever, whatever we're going through, God's going to provide everything that's needed in that moment. You don't need to look for anything else. Now, did I have to go through the accident? Yes, I did, because I live in this physical world. He wouldn't send Abraham's son into death because then he'd have had to resurrect him and there would have been a whole bunch of other stuff. This was to take him to that point. It's to take us to that point of understanding that he's going to take us to that edge at times. And are we going to call upon him? Are we going to know him? And in that, because we have feared our Lord, we have trusted him all the way up to through all of this, God will provide. It may take weeks, it may take months, it may take years for recuperation to happen. But ultimately, how long do we live, dear people? If you're in Christ Jesus, you live how long? To eternity, forever. So do you think we have time? Yes, we do. But there's also something that we need to understand. Because there are going to be a whole lot of people who are in the church, and right now y'all are saying, you know, oh yeah, I'm trusting the Lord. I'm doing all this, and you know, I'm that, and I'm the next thing. That's one of the most dangerous things you can say. That is one of the most dangerous things you can say, because that will get you kicked right out. What? Turn in your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. The Lord Jesus here is going to speak to us. Once again, remember, when the angel of the Lord appeared, that was a theophany. That was the Lord Jesus Christ speaking to Abraham. God speaks all through the scriptures. And here he is speaking to us in his human form as the Savior, the Son of God, come down to earth. And here he is speaking to us. He's telling us some things that are going to come. And it's understanding that you know, now we understand that, you know, for God to say, now I know, that means we've had to experience that knowledge. And he sees that we have experienced it because we went that far. It isn't that he knew you were going to and took you out for the hook. It's that he let you get to that point because that's part of spiritual growth. That's part of understanding. We're going to see that in the end here. But from verse 13, let us read the word of the Lord. It says, enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. And there are many who enter through it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it. Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? So every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire so that you will know them by their fruits. Not every one of you who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name cast out demons and in your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against the house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against the house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Blessed be the word of our Lord. May we apply the understanding of this word to what we were just going through. Because again, back at in Genesis, we understand that God says, now I know. And here he says, I never knew you. Which do you want to hear? Now I know you, or I never knew you? We all want to hear, now I know you. Can I get an amen? But there will be many, this is Jesus' words, there will be many who will say unto me that day, Lord, Lord, but they will not enter the kingdom. And they're going to look at him and they're going to say, what? This is important. Please look at this, because this ties to everything that we read before and ties to everything that we read after from the book of Matthew. Did we not prophesy in your name and in your name cast out demons and in your name perform many miracles? You know, there's a reason when y'all come back here and you say to me, oh, Pastor, that was a wonderful sermon. I don't stand there and say, oh, yes, I know. Thank you. I am so good. That is so wrong. Pastor David said it last week. This is the word of God. This is God. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word is God. This is him. How dare I say I can do something with him? He's my God, my God. He's got to teach me. He's got to empower me. So it's not me, it's him. But note the attitude of these people. Did we not prophesy? Did we not cast out demons? Did we not perform many miracles? No, you didn't perform one miracle. You didn't perform one prophecy. You didn't do anything. God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, has done it through you. And you walk humbly because you understand God is in you, using you despite your fallings, despite your failings. Because why? Because he loves you so much. And he has brought you through so much, and there's so much more yet for us to learn. And he's going to use us in spite of ourselves. Can I get an amen? Because he loves us so much. Because he says to us, he says, you know, hey, a good tree can only bear good fruit. A bad tree is going to bear bad fruit. Me, myself, and I. That's some of the worst fruit you'll ever see. It stinketh, and we all know it. How many people do we know? It's all about me, myself, and I. How many of us love to be around those people all the time? We'll be nice and we'll be Christian and we'll smile and we'll say, oh, yeah. And then we'll walk away and say, oh, my God. I'm being real, aren't I? But how many times is that person? Because it does happen. It does happen. And we need to remember that we're supposed to be people of good fruit, that we don't bring bad fruit into being. Because every tree that bears bad fruit is going to be torn down. We need to make sure that we are planted on that rock, the rock of Jesus Christ. That he is the one who sustains us. Nothing I do is going to bring any value or worth to anything. It's what God brings to me and through me and gives me, and I recognize. It is that humility that I walk in. What do you mean? Turn in your Bibles to the book of Psalms. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Psalms. We're going to be in Psalms 25. Psalms 25. Now, this psalm is beautiful to me because of the way it is built. This psalm is a chiastic psalm. In other words, it builds up, it comes up, and it reaches its apex, and then it comes back down. And both sides are parallel. to one another. A point that's being made over here on the same level over here, it's making the same point in the opposite direction, okay? So let's read Psalm 25. It says, to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust. Do not let me be ashamed. Do not let my enemies exult over me. Indeed, none of those who wait for you will be ashamed. Those who deal treacherously without cause will be ashamed. Pardon me. Make me known your ways. Make me know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all day. Remember, O Lord, your compassion and your loving kindness, for they have been from old. Do not remember the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your loving kindness, remember me, for your goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in the way. He leads the humble in justice, and he teaches the humble his way. All the paths of the Lord are loving kindness and truth to those who keep his covenants and his testimonies. For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. Who is the man who fears the Lord? He will instruct him in the way he should go. His soul will abide in prosperity, and his descendants will inherit the land. The secret of the Lord is for those who fear him, and he will make them know his covenant. My eyes are continually toward the Lord, for he will pluck my feet out of the net. Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. Bring me out of my distress. Look upon my affliction and my trouble, and forgive all my sins. Look upon my enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with violent hatred. Guard my soul and deliver me. Do not let me be ashamed, for I take refuge in you. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait for you. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all his troubles. As we read that psalm, we see how the psalmist is turning to God at every extent of every piece that is coming to him. And he knows, where does his help come from? He knows, where does his strength come from? He knows that his failings are many, but who does he seek for forgiveness? Everything goes back. Everything goes back. Everything goes back to verse 12. Who is the one who fears the Lord? And we know God will provide for those of us who know him, because he knows our hearts. And in that, God is glorified through every one of our lives, and the church grows, and you become a man or a woman of faith and a person of prosperity. I know some of you look at it and you say, oh, but man, I trouble with everything in my life. I doubt. I go through times of emotional bout. Praise Jesus. Why don't you? Because he knows what you need. And he's working with you because he knows you and loves you. And he says, you are fine just the way you are, because my son's cross covered it all. You don't have to get it right. He did for you. Believe it, receive it, and walk knowing that I know you. I know you. Your name is written in the Lamb's book of life, and nobody's taken it out. Can I get an amen? You are one that he knows if you have called upon his name. You may be going through some stuff. And boy, I'll tell you right now, how many of you out there can say, yeah, I have been through some stuff. I'm going through some stuff. And I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to keep going through it, because it's called life. How many of you all know life will disappoint you? But I can't wait for eternity. Because there is no sin, there is no disappointment, there is no evil, there is no selfishness, there is no envy in eternity. There is only God, his love, and his perfection. Why do you think we're all in this mess? Because we keep trying to make it work, when all we need to do is trust him. Can I get an amen? And thereby know that we fear God and we will receive his blessing. The victory that has kept this nation going for 250 years. Think about that. God is good. And all the time. Let us pray. Oh, Father God, do we long to hear you say, I know you. I know you. Because, Lord, those are the words of comfort. They are the words that wipe away every tear, wipe away every doubt. When we hear you say those words in our lives, when we see the promise, when we receive the goodness, because even in the midst of hurt, Lord, you're right there with us, giving us the hope, giving us the victory, because that's who you are. We've got to go through these things because we're here on earth. We are living life. We're to be an example unto the world, but also an example unto ourselves. Because, Lord, it is in that, that we work out our salvation in fear and trembling. So, Lord Jesus, I pray that for all of those who are going through difficult things right now and they really want to know that you know them, that they would call upon your name right now and that they would walk with you all the rest of the days of their lives. Lord Jesus, if that is the plea of anyone here this day, I ask them to reach out to us through our website. And we will pray with them. We will help them gain the wisdom and knowledge that Jesus Christ is walking with them even now. And for everyone here, may you know that God knows you. In Jesus' holy name, amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can locate us on the web at theheartofchristchurch.com. There you will find many useful links to contact us or donate to our ministry, where it is our mission to love God, love others, and go.